I'd like this evening to draw your attention to the third epistle of John, reading from verse 11, 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Well, you may have worked out from that our figure this evening, our small Bible bit part, is Demetrius. And he's the third person mentioned in his letter. And he's clearly a good man and a faithful man. He's a contrast with Diotrephes. And he's more of the manner of Gaius. And yet of this man, we don't know very much. We know that he has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. But the question is why? Gaius, for example, we know offers hospitality. Does Demetrius? Well, we don't know. It might be that being a poorer man, he's not in a position to offer hospitality. Some have thought that maybe he is the bearer of the letter. In other words, he arrives in the district with the letter of 3 John. What a privilege. Okay, perhaps not as meaty as the book of Romans, perhaps not as intriguing as the book of Revelation. But the letter which Demetrius may be carrying is just what that particular church needs at that particular time. This, of course, brings me on to my first point. We don't know why Demetrius attracts such a good report. We don't know what he has been up to. And there is a sense in which each one of us ought to be discreet about the things we do for the Lord. It's good to be faithful and hospitable and true and generous and kind. But if we then take a great deal of trouble and delight to tell everyone of what we've been doing, it does, I think, remove some of the sparkle. Indeed, Jesus indicated in his discourse that those who seek the praise of men receive their reward in full. I would far sooner do something for the Lord which nobody notices or witnesses, but of course he does, and to be commended by him on that great day, than to receive the adulation and commendation of people down below. But the Lord says nothing on that day because I received my praise in full. Of course, people who are in public ministry, like pastors and preachers, a lot of what they do is public. But they are called to do things for the Lord which are not public. And those who are not called to preach or pastor or head of ministry or do this or do that, who just get on with the quiet but important business of being a follower of Jesus Christ, I do wonder if such ones will receive a greater reward. So here is a man, we don't really know what he has been doing. And the discretion, of course, is on John, the author's part, rather than Demetrius himself. And yet this man, I think, does set something of an example for us to follow. Don't grow weary in doing good, but neither advertise the facts of what you've been doing. The second point I'd make is that this man has a good testimony from all. Now, I am minded, of course, of that scripture, as I'm sure some of you are, to beware of those times when all men speak well of you. Do we have a contradiction here? I don't think so, because I'm almost certain that Diotrephes probably does speak ill of Demetrius. But rather, John is saying from all of us at headquarters, as it were, here is a man whom we can commend to you, and our testimony of him is positive. It might be that Demetrius is a good and honest man to everybody he encounters. The ancient world was more divided socially than our world. There was a bigger gap between the rich and the poor. There was a gigantic distinction between bond and free. But John says he has a good testimony from all. Could it be that Demetrius is well respected and beloved, not just by the influential people, but also by the weak people, the marginalised people, the enslaved people, the people whose opinions don't normally matter, the people at the bottom? All speak well of him. Well, that's remarkable. Here is a man whose lifestyle speaks for itself. And yet he goes on, and from the truth itself. Now that's a rather puzzling expression. How can the truth itself have a good testimony of him? Well, there are a few interpretations of it. One is that he is sound of doctrine. There was a movement in the mid-20th century in Britain and elsewhere, and it is still with us, called the Ecumenical Movement. And it was true at the start of the century, there were major divisions between genuine believers. If you were a Baptist in one town, you might not speak to people who were a Methodist in one town, even though you might be, of course, going to the same heaven, followers of the same Lord. And so there was a movement that, well, we need to bring the churches closer together. But by the time that 20th century unfolded, many of the denominations had watered down their doctrine. It kind of didn't really matter what you believe. If you claim to be a Christian, if you have a Bible on your shelf, if you've been baptized at some point, well, that's good enough. Yes, the leader of that denomination, he might not believe in the resurrection, but he's very good in other things. And those people over there, yeah, they don't believe in the divinity of Christ, but they have a great social program. And those people, you see what's happening here, what the ecumenical movement essentially said, we need to work on outward expressions of unity with people who have no inner conviction of evangelical doctrine. Truth was sold cheap. It does matter what you believe. Your doctrine is important. That is not to say that there can't be genuine disagreements among believers on secondary or tertiary issues, and of course, what's secondary and what's primary, that will be part of the discussion, perhaps. But when it comes to fundamental gospel principles, we cannot walk with those who do not abide by them. It might be that that expression, and from the truth itself, is John's way of saying he is well regarded, his lifestyle is more than acceptable, and so too his doctrine. Now we know that some people might tick all the correct doctrinal boxes, but their lifestyles are pretty rotten. That's not Demetrius. He has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. Another interpretation of "and from the truth itself" might be, is it referring to Jesus Christ? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Could it be John's way of saying, we endorse him? And that's because Jesus Christ endorses him and approves of him. And there is a sense in which, well, if people think well of you, That's one thing. But what does the Lord think? He who can see the heart. He who knows whether that faith and all that talk is genuine. In John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress, there are many characters which we might consider to be rather scary. One of the scariest for me is a man called Talkative. Talkative says all the right things. But to use Bunyan's rather lovely expression, when he's not talking, you'll find him on the ale bench. In other words, he talks, but he doesn't really believe and he doesn't live the gospel. The gospel is not just a series of statements that you can add your signature to at the bottom. It's, are you living them as well as actually believing them? And from the truth itself. What does the Lord think of Demetrius? Well, John is assuring these people who presumably may not be very familiar with him, even though all who know him do endorse him, that even Jesus himself, whose opinion is really the only one that ultimately matters, John is saying, well, the Lord approves of him also. Evidently, they were living at a time when there was false teaching creeping into the church. I think we've all lived in that time. We'll never get away from it until the Lord returns. But here is a man who knows the truth, is approved by the truth, lives the truth, and teaches the truth. Well might John begin this section by saying, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. We might not know why Demetrius has the good testimony, but John is surely saying, when you meet him, imitate him. Emulate him, copy him, make him your role model. How he behaves is perhaps how you ought to behave also. And he goes on to say, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. John does seem to be labouring the point here. Have you noticed? There is a danger with a church, especially in a situation like this one, when there are false teachers going around and jumped up at church leaders. On the one hand, you welcome everybody. Doesn't matter what they believe, doesn't matter how they live. The other hand, you become too hard and you turn people away. You don't accept them because, well, they might not be one of us. John is really saying of Demetrius, you know that you can trust my judgment. You know that my testimony is true, and I recommend him to you. I get the impression that the people who are going to receive this letter may not be entirely familiar with Demetrius, but John is saying, I trust him. And if he is indeed the letter bearer, John has trusted him with genuine treasure. So what can we learn from Demetrius? The first thing is, when we do good, let's not trumpet it. Number two, let's gain for ourselves a good reputation. Not because we want to be praised by people, but because we want to be recognised for our integrity and our righteousness. May our doctrine be correct. Truth does matter. And if John were here today, would he trust all of us with this wonderful treasure of his letter? Are we people who can be trusted to carry that which is precious and dear? I can't say much more about Demetrius. He is barely mentioned. But from what I can read, the Lord had more to say to him than I have to say about him. And that is how it should be. Amen.